see everybody here. I think of Norma's here. You know, we had a funeral on Thursday with Norma's husband, Elmer. And then we had a baptism on Saturday. We think of from end of life to beginning of life. Little Forrest. And he's still smiling at me. He wasn't that way on Friday. When we first met, he kind of wanted to keep his eye on mom. So, you know, just it's a unique week it has been in a lot of different ways. You go from dealing with the passing of somebody that you care about, and I just realized there's a lot about Elmer I didn't know. You know, it's just wonderful to hear from Larry and Tim some of the stories that they've had with their dad, especially one that's a cornfield. You know, that's a great one. Because I was telling the band this morning, going like, you know, if that would have been me cultivating corn, which I have done that, and if I would have went out of the row or took out part of the row of the corn, my dad would not have approved of it. He would have just said, Jim, if you get tired, you just stop and take a snooze. But if you tear out the corn, you are in big trouble. And I just think, you know, what a lesson on grace that Elmer would go and put all that corn back. And then by the time Larry came back, he'd be done, and he would just say to Larry, be more careful next time. That's all he said. Man, I would never have happened to me. But what a great story. And I didn't realize that he was particularly a quiet guy. And I just thought he was just that way because you told him to be quiet. But he was who he was. You know, so he's going to be missed around here. But thank you for being here this morning. You know, it's a lot different. I'm glad that Nancy's right next to you. Because otherwise you'd be in that pew all by yourself. But I do want to say that did something never ever done in my entire life in ministry either. We had a baptism out at Metz Beach. I didn't even know where Metz Beach was. And baptized Forrest out there. And it was just a special time. And again, I was like, you know, I really don't know the Moore family very much. But I sure got to know them yesterday and spend time with them. And we should say we did. It was really a lot of fun as well. I go like, how could I be not find the park if I found it? But anyway, it was a good time. And so yeah, I got to meet Forrest's mom and dad. So I mean, it's Forrest Stephen Dolph Moore. And so I had to figure that one out for a while. I go, okay, Stephen Moore. It's got to be his son, which is Skyler. And then Dolph would be your maiden name would be Dolph, because you're the only child to keep the family name going. And so his name is with kind of the middle name with that. So just a special time. I'm glad to meet you guys and have a safe trip back when you're all done celebrating the 4th of July. And I still want to wrestle Joel. You know, but I might have to do that in my dreams. It's good to have everybody here today. Thanks for coming and being a part of the 4th of July weekend. And just want you to know that you've got a bulletin you can read. There are things in there just for your information, things that are coming up. Oh, there's one thing. The men's breakfast. We met yesterday. Do you know how many men we had? 10. But because it was on a weekend, we think that should be times 3. So there was 30.
It's always on a weekend.
But this is a holiday weekend. So we should get a little extra more credit for having an attendee. So I thought that was pretty pretty cute of John Arthur, who said, you know, there should be something special here for us meeting a national holiday weekend type of thing. So it was his idea. Take it times two. He said two, but I said, that won't be enough. We gotta go three.
Oh, I'm gonna have to start calling beforehand. Yeah.
So, I know. So at any rate, let us just have a word of prayer together this morning, and we'll just continue on worshiping the Lord as well. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for everyone that has come to the doors this morning. Grateful, Lord, for Little Forrest, the new life that you have given to him, and we just are so grateful for his grandparents as well as his mom and his dad. And that's just exciting, just a kind of exciting thing to celebrate together and to know that you are going to work in ways that we have no idea what that will be. But we just thank you for this little guy. And we also just thank you too, Lord, just for the memories you've given to us with Elmer. And we also think of Walt Meyer, who's in the hospital in Sioux Falls. And he's got a lot of different things going on with him, and Cheryl is there with him by his side. And we just pray, Lord, that your healing touch would be upon his body, as well as be with the doctors and those that are taking care of him. Sounds like he's got kind of a long role to hold there, and we know that with Jesus by his side and faith in him, that he just keeps looking up. To know that he is not there alone. Even if Cheryl is there, we know that, Lord, you are there with him as well. Because you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what. And so we are mindful of him as well as with Dwayne Anderson and Vicki as they continue to deal with Dwayne's situation on a daily basis. And we don't know how much longer he has either. But we know that you are with him as well, with them both. And that your grace is sufficient, even though it's difficult to see someone who you love and close to that's suffering along the way. And so, Lord, today as we come together to worship you and get to come to your table, if we decide to do so today, Lord, we just pray that you would use this morning as a way that we know we've spent time with you, that we've done business with you, that we have come closer to you, no matter where we may be in our lives. So we are grateful for everyone that is here. And Lord, I just think too of the hymn singing and the potluck that we had last Sunday. We're just grateful that there was people that came. And there are some that are here today because of that. And we are thankful. And just pray to the Lord for the mom from Lake Park who passed away at 104 and prayed for on Sunday night that she died that night. So we just pray for the family as they make the arrangements and go through the things that need to be done to bring her back and to be buried in Lake Park, Iowa. And so, Lord, there's a lot of other needs that are here in our midst here today. You know each and every one. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving us and going to the cross for each and every one of us and rising again on the third day. And may there be good news that is shared today as well, as we come together and worship you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Later this summer, composer Jason Ray, Jason Kingham, will be as part of the Bible Conference. He wrote a song that we're going to share together called Remind Me Who I Am. And to pay close attention to the words to realize just how precious we are.
In the mirror, all I see is who I know I am.
our communion service that you will have shortly after the message. It says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open. That's a scary thought, isn't it? All hearts are open. God knows everything about you. This morning, and yesterday, and tomorrow. He knows you. Intimately. All desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take some time in silence as we let the Lord speak to our hearts and by His Holy Spirit show us the sins that we need to confess to Him this morning. And may it be just a special time as He listens to your heart this morning.
Thank you.
you can leave the stage as we just hear God's word this morning. Comes to us from Luke chapter 10, just three verses. Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word before us today. Words of action, words for us to contemplate and to think through. But nonetheless, great words from you for us today. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You now may be seated. Unless you want to stand, that's okay. The context of this portion of scripture, if you look right before it, it talks about the cost of following Jesus. It has to do with discipleship. And it really comes down to discipleship 101 is this. If you want to follow Jesus, it's not going to happen by easy believism. He says that if you want to follow him, there will be no place for you to call your own. Because Jesus had no place to lay his head. He didn't have a home. We also know that there's no family attachments. You are to deny, you know, the person there that said, "Well, before I come and follow you, Lord, help me to bury my mom or my dad." And Jesus just said, "You know, ain't gonna happen. You're gonna follow me, you're gonna have to follow me, you're gonna have to let things in life go on." The third thing, we had a guy that said, "I will follow you, Lord, first. But if he puts his hand to the plow, he's not to look back. Because if someone does look back, what happens if you look back and you put your hand, if you're looking back at the plow all the time? You're going to be like, Larry. You're going to go crooked. You're going to go crooked. So therefore, you're to keep looking straight ahead, because if you do that, you're going to have a straight furrow. You're going to go in a straight direction. You're not to be looking back, you're to look forward to see what God has in store for you in your life. So focus ahead so that you can keep going straight. We find here that Jesus sends out 72 other followers of his. So if you divide that by two, because he sent them out by twos, there's 36 different ones who went out. And they all went to different places that Jesus said that he was going to visit himself. But Jesus tells these 72, "I want you to go, but take nothing with you." And, you know, here they are. They're going to places where they don't really know anybody. They don't know where they're going to stay for the evening, because they go to the village or to the place, and it's whoever invites you to stay with them, that is what they're to do. And with that comes other things. That means whatever they set before you to eat, you are to eat it. Don't complain. So if they give you a goat's eye and goat's head soup, you know, you just don't go, "Ish, I'm not going to eat that. What else do you got?" "I'll take some Oreos and some milk." No, you don't get that privilege. What is set before you, you eat. And now you're thinking that they're going to probably go to different places where it's a different customs or different culture. They're going to eat things that they've never eaten before. These are probably more likely Jewish disciples, so they have their Jewish eating laws and regulations that they're to follow. And Jesus saying, whoever invites you to their home, say that there's peace there, and that's where you stay. Don't go jumping around from house to house. Just stay at that one place and be a good servant there. They don't know how they're going to be treated when they get to these places, but Jesus tells them that this is what they're to do. When you go there, heal the sick. Wonderful. Great. How many of us would be comfortable in hearing that? Go and heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God is near. Oh, that's another wonderful thing. How many today want to hear that kind of news? God's coming. Are you ready? Who's going to enjoy that kind of news? There are some who will, some who won't. So that's what Jesus tells them to do. So the bottom line is this. Know what you're getting into when it comes to following Jesus. Know what you're getting into. It's just like when you get married. Know what you're getting into, right? When you have children. Do you know what you're getting into, Scott?
I do now.
Erin is a great mom. It's nice to just say, honey, you do a great job with Forrest. But Jesus is telling his disciples that he sends out, know what you're getting into. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be easy. So lesson one is this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that's so true, isn't it? There is a lot to do for the Lord when it comes to meeting people and inviting people to come to know Jesus as their Savior. But there's not that many that really want to go out and do that. But he says, pray. Pray to the Lord that he would raise up those people, that they would go. So I'm probably somewhat of an answer to somebody's prayer, that doing what people have been praying and asking the Lord for. This is a great missionary passage. Some of you probably heard at some mission meetings where it says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's probably about all the further they go. But the next line, it says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Isn't that great news? What's the characteristic of a lamb? Vulnerable? Probably not too smart. Gentle. If you know anything about sheep, where one sheep goes, what happens to the rest of them? The rest follow. And if one jumps, they'll all jump. And there's nothing from the jump. Over. And so you just kind of go like, well, you can't stop them. You just kind of go there like, okay. They just do that. What's the characteristic of a wolf? Strong. Sneaky. They're pretty smart. They're powerful. They got big fangs that are not there just for show. But a wolf will attack a lamb, and that lamb will be his next meal. So Jesus says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Wow. Who wants to be signed up for that? We do everything we can to avoid wolves. Now it might be of interest to you, what is a wolf today? Well, it might surprise you. You know, we know in Scripture it says that there are those that are in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves at heart. Or wolves that are in sheep's clothing. And so it's like, who are those guys? You know, I'll just say to you that there are pastors. There are theologians today who fit this. They do not really want to tell you the truth. And they're very nice people, but they will not tell you the truth. Because they want you to like them. So in other words, there are going to be people that will be for you and there will be people who will be against you. I've seen this firsthand over the years and being a lot of different ministerials in different churches that I've pastored in different communities. And you can tell right away the ones that you're going to get along with, and you're going to tell right away the ones you're going to have a difficult time with. The ones you have a difficult time with are those that do not see any need to believe in the miracles of Jesus. So when it comes to the feeding of the 5,000, guess what? They say that everybody brought a sack lunch. And they ate their sack lunch. Jesus did not perform a miracle. The people brought the food already. That's one of the things. Of course, when it comes to Jonah and the big fish, forget that. They just don't think that even happened. And you'll find that these are very educated professors that teach future pastors a lot of different things. That this is what they're supposed to teach in their congregations, wherever they may end up going. Wolves. Another thing that you'll notice with a wolf is that it'll be a pastor who will not ever say the name Jesus Christ. We're talking about God. Everybody believes in God. But when you start talking about Jesus Christ, that is kind of where you draw the line. People get upset when you mention the name of Jesus. And I go like, you know, there's a reason why you get upset then. Because he must be real. Why is it that so many people just avoid the name Jesus Christ? So when we answer the call and we go out into the harvest field, lesson two is we're going to be like lambs among wolves. It's not going to be an easy thing. You're going to have to leave your comfort zone to enter the world of wolves. And there are many missionaries that, you know, used to be, I don't know nowadays what it's like to be a missionary, but you still think of, there are people who retire, go to a mission field. Only God can put that in someone's heart to do. You think when you get retired that what? Oh, good. I don't have to do anything more now. I'm retired. And yet there's people who stay, they believe that God wants them to go somewhere. It doesn't have to always be overseas or some unknown place. It might be just where you live. Because there's people who need to hear the truth. But remember, when that happens, not everyone's going to like to hear it. So I think of back to Genesis chapter 12, that's really God's call to Abraham. His name wasn't Abraham at that time, it was Abram. And God told Abram to leave his country, to leave his family, and to go to a place that I will show you, which he did. But that took faith, to believe in God's word, regardless of what anybody else would say to you or about you, to follow God is always the best thing. And so I just want to ask those of you that are here today, are you willing to go? If the Lord says to you, I want you to go here, are you willing to go? I want you to leave the job, the career that you have, and I want you to do something completely different, which is to just trust in me. Trust in my word. I'll take care of all the details. Are you willing to go? I've known of people who were afraid to go to the mission field because they thought they were going to be sent to Africa. And really all that God wanted from them was just to say, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. And once they made that commitment, the whole African thing left them. God just wanted to see if they were willing to go. Then God used them in where they lived, in America. And America can sure use some good evangelists nowadays. So I just ask you, if God asks you to leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land I will show you, would you have that dependence on God to say, here I am. I'm willing. I'll go where you want me to go. Because it will take a real commitment of dependence. Depending on God. That's where God really wants us to be anyway. To depend on Him. What is the American way? I can do it myself. For the most part. There's going to be more and more Americans that like handouts. But as Americans, a lot of times, we have what we have because we had to strive for it, we had to work for it, we had to wait for it. And you kind of look back in your life, you go like, this is what I accomplished. What I accomplished. What is it that was accomplished for Christ in your life? That's the bigger question. What's the biggest thing you accomplished for Christ in your life? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to follow you whenever we hear your call. And sometimes, Lord, we can wrestle with that for a long time. Sometimes it takes years before we finally raise up the white flag where we surrender to you. And then when we do, we go like, what took you so long? That's just kind of how we work it out sometimes in our own lives as well. So Lord, there may be someone here today that you want to use and that you are calling and have been for a long time. And this is just something you want to remind him or her about. Come to you. All who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The Lord's peace is something that everyone needs and will not have until we have said that we'll follow Jesus and learn what that means. So Lord, thanks for who you are. Thank you for the hearts that you are working in here this morning as well. May you have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to go move into the communion service. I just want you to know this. Now, some of you probably never had communion here, or you don't know what it's all about. Just want to kind of let you know. You don't have to be a member of Harbor of Joy to take communion. It's just between you and God, and no one is here to judge you, to go like, now, what is he going up there for? Or, can't believe that, you know? That doesn't happen. It's the important thing is it's between you and God, and if that is something that you would like to do, We just want you to know that Jesus invites you to come to his kingdom. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's what we try to do. And so if you'd like to come, there's two stations that we have. One station is right here. You'll be ushered and come here and receive the elements. If you want to go up onto the altar up here and want to kneel and to be served and stay up there as long as you want to pray or whatever, that's entirely up to you too. Feel free to do so. There is gluten-free wafers. For some of you that need gluten-free, the gluten-free wafers are in little packages that no one can touch. So they're here. If you don't want wine, but you want grape juice, there is grape juice. It's white. It's kind of in the center of the tray. But that's entirely up to you. If you want grape juice, you just hold your hand like this. And the ones who are serving will know that that means you'll have grape juice rather than wine. And so I think that's all the announcements that kind of pertain to communion. But you know, if you don't want to take communion, that's entirely up to you. We do ask that if you do come, take communion, that you know Jesus as your Savior. That he truly is the one that you follow, is the one that you want in your heart and your life. And even when we mess up, we all mess up. But God is here to forgive and to strengthen us as we partake of his meal. It's his meal. Not mine, not the church's. We're just doing what he asked us to do. So with that being said, I'm just going to move this over to the side. And then we will recite the Apostles' Creed together. I invite you to stand as we recite it. It's up on the monitor. Where it says this, we can say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Each of you take and eat. This bread is broken. As he gives them each a piece. He says to do this until he comes again. And he tells them that this is my body. To the cross yet. He hasn't risen from the grave yet. But this is what he tells them on the Last Supper. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. He said to his disciples, "This is my blood given for you." More likely, they didn't understand it at the time he said this, but they would come to realize what he's saying later. This is my blood given for you. Do this in remembrance of me till I come again. And so we find that when we come and take communion, it's a time of it's just you and God. God wants to just touch your life. He wants to strengthen you so that you wouldn't be so vulnerable when it comes to being sin, because God can do that. And so he invite you to come today, if that is something that you so desire. I'll ask the servers to come.
Thank you.
the green light. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
I came here as an immigrant from Russia in 1893. Whatever success I have had as a songwriter, I owe to this country. These are words from the man whose God Bless America was introduced by Kate Smith in 1938. So would we stand together in the United States? God Bless America.